BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at bcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us today for a News Roundup broadcast as we share with you much of what is taking place around the world, here in the States, sometimes local communities, matters that are unfolding. And as we have so often stated, as we give this, it's to certainly inform you. It is not to cause fear or trepidation in your heart, but certainly to provide you information. We trust that it causes you to go to prayer for our nation and for conditions that are going on in our world today. Certainly we do live in troublesome times, and that this motivates us all to be purveyors of the gospel. Certainly it's the gospel that's truly going to change man's hearts, and certainly be salt, to be light in our society around us, to see how we can make an impact as a believer in Jesus Christ. And we trust that the stories today not only inform, but will take you to action as well. We're going to begin, of course, a lot of the news this week has been with the shootings that took place last weekend, Dayton, El Paso. And this from Epoch Times, President Donald Trump, First Lady Melania Trump visited Dayton and El Paso on Wednesday to meet the victims of the two mass shootings that they earlier had claimed the lives of some 32 people. They went to thank first responders for their efforts, visiting hospitals in both cities, meeting with victims, families, medical staff, law enforcement officers. The press was barred from both events. The press did a pretty good job of showing all the protest. But the trip was about meeting with victims. It wasn't meant to be a photo op, according to the White House press secretary. But the Trumps did go from room to room at the hospital first in Dayton, speaking with the families, the victims themselves, as well as first responders and hospital staff. Senator Rob Portman of Ohio joined the president for that hospital visit. He said that the president had been well received. And also in Dayton, greeted by Governor Greg, make that El Paso, Greg Abbott of Texas, Senators Ted Cruz, John Cornyn, and El Paso Mayor Dee Margo. They went to the University Medical Center of El Paso, and again, meeting with the victims and first responders and police officers. And the president, even before he left, said, "We're going to take the opportunity to really congratulate the first responders." Well, another situation unfolded in a Walmart store, this time in Missouri. This coming from the Daily Wire, an off-duty firefighter who had a firearm with him stopped a potential attack from taking place at a Walmart in Missouri. After a 20-year-old man showed up to the store with a rifle, body armor, and over 100 rounds of ammunition, his intent was not to cause peace or to comfort anyone that was in the business, said Lieutenant Mike Lucas with the Springfield Police Department. In fact, he's lucky to be alive still, to be honest. FoxNews.com also tells us that the suspect taken into custody, he was armed, dressed in what appeared to be tactical gear, and reportedly grabbed a shopping cart, began pushing it around while recording himself on a phone. They were investigating whether he was doing a Facebook Live posting. Well, after being alerted to this, the store manager pulled a fire alarm and shoppers fled the store. Police say that the individual attempted to exit the store but was met by an armed off-duty fireman. The unidentified man detained the suspect until officers arrived on the scene, were able to take him into police custody. He had a loaded gun, more than 100 rounds of ammunition on him at the time, and wearing the body armor. And again, the matter of this being a concealed carry permit holder that prevented what could have been another horrendous attack at a Walmart. We're going to the New York Patch, and Patchogue Flyers, Red Death Camps for Trump supporters, hung on street posts, parking meters, and truly troubling is to see the rhetoric and the anger and the division and the discord that's being, just the flames that are being fanned. Multiple flyers have been posted on street posts, parking meters, in Pachigou reading Death Camps for Trump Supporters Now. Signs include a skeletal figure wearing a black jacket while collared shirt, a white-collared shirt and a red tie. The words appear in red in overlaying the photo. And then when you think about this Hollywood film that has come out, PJ Media has the story. Universal Pictures set to release a thriller called The Hunt, September 27th, featuring left-wing elites hunting President Trump's supporters for sport. Another responds, at least the hunt's coming, nothing better than going out to the manor and slaughtering a dozen deplorables. It's a violent R-rated movie from producer Jason Blum's Blumhouse. Follows a dozen MAGA types who wake up in a clearing and realize they're being stalked for sport by elite liberals. According to THR, the movie features guns blazing along with the other ultra-violent killings as the elites pick off the prey. Isn't that just what we need in our society today? A Hollywood film coming out depicting Trump supporters being hunted down, as sport? And how Hollywood gets away with this when we see what just happened in El Paso and Dayton, and then putting forth a film under the guise of entertainment and free speech, showing the killings taking place. Let's go to lifenews.com. As dozens of protesters gathered outside Mitch McConnell's home in Louisville Monday night, including one who wished the Senate Majority Leader would suffer several violent injuries. "I just want him to have a stroke, that is all," said a woman who is among the 40 protesters outside of his home. At one point, a male protester commented on McConnell's recent injury, saying that he may have been the victim of a voodoo doll curse. There was an expletive given by a videographer, but just said, "Stab him in the heart, please." I tell you, this heightened rhetoric that's going on, where is the media to denounce this that is taking place? They're ready there to denounce the president, but when these things are taking place, where are they? Breitbart reports that the campaign account for Senator Majority Mitch McConnell was suspended from Twitter. What did he do? He shared a video of those protesters making violent threats against him. Twitter had no problem with a massacre Mitch trending on the platform, but Senator McConnell's team slammed Twitter in a comment to USA Today's Courier-Journal, saying this morning Twitter locked our account for posting the video of real-world violent threats made against Mitch McConnell. "This is a problem with the speech police in America today," said Kevin Golden, a campaign manager. No problem with having a massacre Mitch trending. But when you show the protesters, the angry, violent protesters, calling for harm to him, and he reveals what's going on, sorry, we can't inform the public on that. The Daily Caller says that Ohio Representative Tim Ryan says he plans to lead a caravan of gun control enthusiasts to Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell's home in Kentucky in order to publicly pressure him to help enact strict gun control measures. It's the mob mentality. From townhall.com, Texas Democratic Congressman Joaquin Castro, brother of the 2020 candidate Julian Castro, has targeted Trump donors. Joaquin Castro on Monday tweeted the names and employers of 44 San Antonio residents who donated the maximum federal amount to President Donald Trump's reelection campaign. The Trump campaign's communications director told the Daily Caller News Foundation that Democrats want to talk about inciting violence. The naming of private citizens and their employers is reckless and irresponsible. He's endangering the safety of people he's supposed to be representing. And so you have the representative who wants to shame individuals or businesses for their support of President Trump, doxing them, putting out their personal information, putting forth those documents in support of their cause and trying to shame them. Well, it comes to find out here from FoxNews.com that Wayne Harwell, the owner of the local real estate development company whose name appeared on the list Castro shared on Monday night, told Fox News in a phone interview that he had donated money to Castro's congressional campaign. He outed one of his own donors in trying to shame Trump supporters. but he suggested that after Castro outed him in a bid to shame Trump supporters, that he would not be supporting Castro any longer. Fox News also reports that a San Antonio man was wrongly outed on Twitter as a donor to President Trump by Castro, and said Friday that the incident forced him, that's today, has forced him to review emergency plans with his wife and his three children, saying, "We convened together as a family. We talked about situational awareness, exit strategy, avoiding and exiting conflict, talked about staying low and close to home and just being at our very highest senses." You've got irresponsible lawmakers who are putting out this information and employers and personal information about individual donors. And look what flames are being fanned at this point. It's like the regular emails that we receive from our Congresswoman Gwen Moore about resist, fight back, join the fight. The Daily Wire reporting Senator Rand Paul revealed on Monday that he recently underwent surgery to remove a portion of his lung that was injured after his neighbor assaulted him at his home 2 years ago. This news came only a week after Representative Ilhan Omar of Minnesota faced widespread backlash for circulating a tweet that appeared to celebrate that violent attack. Well, he's not over that attack yet. A portion of his lung had to be removed. The Daily Signal tells us that Democrats on the House Judiciary Committee have asked the National Archives Tuesday to release documents from Justice Brett Kavanaugh's service in the George W. Bush White House. The request tracks Democratic promises to scrutinize Kavanaugh even after his confirmation to the Supreme Court. Breitbart tells us that former FBI agent Peter Stroik is suing the FBI and the Department of Justice over his firing, claiming that his removal was politically driven and illegal, an attorney for the disgraced bureau employee said on Tuesday. The Hill tells us that the U.S. Ambassador to Russia, John Huntsman, on Tuesday turned in his resignation letter to President Trump. He said in his letter that he was honored by the trust you have placed in me as the United States Ambassador to Russia during this historically difficult period in bilateral relations. I pledge my full effort in facilitating a smooth transition that ensures our foreign policy goals are kept in proper focus. Huntsman, a former Utah governor planning to move back to Utah in the fall, reportedly weighing another gubernatorial run, the Salt Lake Tribune reports. Huntsman's resignation will take effect on October 3rd. Be praying as to who that next ambassador for Russia will be. FoxNews.com tells us President Trump said yesterday that the National Counterterrorism Center Director Joseph McGuire would become acting Director of National Intelligence effective August 15th when current Director of Intelligence Dan Coats is set to leave the administration. Tensions going on with Venezuela. From FoxNews.com, the Trump administration froze all Venezuelan government assets in a dramatic escalation of tensions with Nicolas Maduro. It places his socialist administration alongside a short list of adversaries from Cuba, North Korea, Syria, and Iran that have been targeted by U.S. actions. The ban is blocking American companies and individuals from doing business with Maduro's government and its top supporters. It took effect immediately on Monday, the first of its kind in the Western Hemisphere in more than three decades. You'll remember some of the recent ones in years gone by, including an embargo on the Sandinista leadership in Nicaragua in the 1980s. Back in just a minute, this is Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, does evolution ever go backwards or reverse itself?
Chris, I don't think evolution occurs at all. God created each basic category of life. They may have varied, but this is not evolution. For evolution, you have to have new genes, new traits, new body parts, not just variety of the old. Sometimes evolutionists claim that evolution reverses itself and goes backwards. For instance, some are now claiming that the chimps, which are basically tree dwellers, descended from a missing link which walked upright, therefore backwards evolution. Chris, I think this is just as wrong as evolution in general is wrong. The evidence supports the biblical truth that man and apes are separate. There's variety among both, but they did not have a common ancestor. And that's just what we read when we go back to Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
It's a News Roundup Day here today on Crosstalk, and let's head back to Russia. A very interesting headline that came in the Daily Mail today. The question, is Putin covering up a nuclear disaster? Ambulances covered in protective film transport six Russians who suffered severe radiation poisoning and mystery explosion during test of new hypersonic missile. Ambulance covered in this protective film today were seen transporting six Russians who suffered serious radiation poisoning in a mysterious military accident. Alarming footage also shows men in protective clothing loading casualties in the vehicles ahead of their transfer for treatment at the Bernazian Federal Medical Biophysical Center in Moscow. Earlier, the clothes of the victims and the medics who first treated them were destroyed. It comes after the two were killed, six injured in a blast at a weapons testing site in the subarctic yesterday. Moscow has thrown a veil of secrecy over this incident. What is going on? Fox News is reporting that the Chernobyl nuclear power plant's massive sarcophagus, which protects its radioactive reactor, is being dismantled because it could collapse due to corrosion and some water damage through the years. This is from Stripes.com, Stars and Stripes. American-Canadian fighter jets intercepted a pair of Russian bombers in international airspace off the coast of Alaska yesterday. That's according to the North American Aerospace Defense Command. This marked the second time this month Russian aircraft were observed in the area. From FoxNews.com, Iranian forces are actively using GPS jammers and pretending to be U.S. or allies' warships to trick commercial vessels into traveling through Iranian waters and then seizing them, federal government officials said. The U.S. Department of Transportation's Maritime Administration released a warning Wednesday claiming that Iran is using GPS interference, bridge-to-bridge communication spoofing, and or other communication jamming with little or no warning, tricking vessels to come in, making them believe that they might be U.S.-related. From Laura Loomer, federal officials are reportedly investigating Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's chief of staff, who resigned last week Friday, to determine whether he violated campaign finance law. The National Legal and Policy Center, a Virginia-based government watchdog, filed a complaint with the FEC in March against Saikat Chakrabarty, accusing the mastermind of Ocasio-Cortez's campaign of illegal fundraising. Federal officials are investigating the FEC complaint that alleges the groups that Chakrabarty created to help elect progressive candidates. The PACs raised approximately $3.3 million in 2016 and 2017. Campaign filings show a third of the cash raised from the small donors was transferred to Chakrabarty's two private companies. The PACs claim that the payments were for, quote, strategic counseling, consulting rather. LifeSiteNews.com. Troubling story here. The White House confirmed the launch of a global U.S. campaign to promote acceptance of homosexual acts last week after several months of confusion and misinformation surrounding the administration's position on LGBT issues. The Trump administration has launched a global campaign to decriminalize homosexuality and invites all nations to join us, read a tweet from the White House last week. The tweet was a message of support for the LGBT advocacy of openly gay Richard Grenell, the U.S. ambassador to Germany. LifeSiteNews.com also tells us that Judge Mary Rowland, the latest of President Trump's judicial nominees, was confirmed by the U.S. Senate. Rowland, a federal magistrate judge in Illinois, was the president's nominee to the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of Illinois. She stands out among the rest of the president's selections for being an open lesbian who was married to a woman and has two adult children. Also from Illinois, this is from Illinois Family Institute. A complaint was filed with the Illinois Human Rights Commission by a female minor who Lori Higgins says, pretends to be a boy and her parents. She alleges that she was discriminated against based on her gender identity when Lake High School District 108 in Roselle, Illinois, required her to change clothes behind a privacy curtain in the boys' locker room. She wanted to be free to undress out in the open where there were objectively male peers. Well, in mid-June, the Illinois Human Rights Court ruled that the district did discriminate against her, arguing that minors who identify as trans must be given unrestricted access to the locker rooms of opposite sex peers. The vote was 3-0 by the commissioners. That ruling means that boys who identify as being girls must be allowed to use girls' locker rooms in exactly the same ways that girls are allowed to use them. Schools may not require them to change their clothes behind privacy curtains, or in privacy cubicles may not prohibit them from taking showers, unclothed showers. Same goes for girls who identify as boys. Schools must pretend that boys who want to be girls are girls and girls who want to be boys are boys, according to the article here from Lori Higgins. When are we going to have some common sense come forth? Also, from LifeSiteNews.com, a Minnesota district judge is allowing a gender-confused student's lawsuit to proceed against the Anoka-Hennepin School District over its policy on transgender locker rooms, declaring a need for immediate resolution on the matter. In February, the group Gender Justice and the local chapter of the ACLU sued the district on behalf of a Coon Rapids High School student identified only as NH. The suit alleges that the district discriminated against NH, a member of the school boys' swim team, by directing her to change in an enhanced privacy bathroom instead of letting her use the boys' locker room. The suit claims that the restriction caused NH to be repeatedly hospitalized for mental health and eventually transfer to another school district. The Daily Signal tells us that the Department of Education's Office for Civil Rights is opening an investigation into whether female high school athletes were discriminated against when the state of Connecticut allowed males who identify as females to compete with them. The three high school girls are pursuing the complaint, including Selena Soule, who earlier this year missed qualifying for the 55-meter dash in the New England Regionals. You see, two biological boys who identify as female were allowed to compete in the Connecticut Girls Indoor Track Championship. These transgenders took first and second place in the event. Had the transgender athletes not been allowed to compete with the girls, Soule would have qualified for the regionals. They have petitioned the Department of Education, their Office of Civil Rights, to have an investigation into whether female, I'm talking biological female high school athletes, are discriminated against in such cases. From CBN, the Christian advocacy group 1 Million Moms is boycotting retailer Whole Foods now that the grocery store supports drag queen story hour. The boycott comes after the city of Atlanta LGBTQ Affairs tweeted that Whole Foods is the latest sponsor for its drag queen story hour. LifeSiteNews.com tells of a video now making its rounds on social media. Two scantily clad men performing a homoerotic dance in the sanctuary of St. Peter Apostle Church in Montreal to the song Hallelujah by Leonard Cohen. Disturbing video going on, taking a place of worship, albeit a religion that I certainly would not agree with, but that which they see as being religious and turning it into that which is sexually perversion against God. From the Wisconsin Family Action, earlier this week, the city of Sheboygan passed a ban on so-called conversion therapy for minors dealing with same-sex attraction or gender confusion. Racine, Wisconsin also recently passed such an ordinance. Now, the Racine School District is requiring LGBT safe zone training for elementary school level counselors and social workers. The training is being provided by the LGBT Center of Southeastern Wisconsin. In addition to the heightening awareness to bullying, the training includes making sure personnel use whatever pronouns students want. From Channel3000.com, three health clinics in western Wisconsin will become Planned Parenthood locations August 19th under a merger. None of the essential health clinics in La Crosse, Sparta, or Blair will offer abortions under the merger, but they could in the future. Jelaine Appling, president of the anti-abortion group, I will call them pro-life group, Wisconsin Family Action calls the merger regrettable because it strengthens Planned Parenthood in Wisconsin. The Daily Caller reporting that the abused scouting legal team announced their first case filed against the Boy Scout of America at a Washington, D.C. press conference, claiming that there has been thus far no congressional oversight involved in the massive sex abuse scandal within the Boy Scouts. Very interesting story indeed. The file contains the names of over 300 alleged sex abuse predators from 48 states and the District of Columbia. North and South Dakota are the only states that have not spoken out to the AIS team, the lawyer said on Tuesday. The legal team told those gathered that over 800 abuse survivors between the ages of 14 and 88 have revealed tales of abuse to AIS after the organization began running nationwide ads encouraging survivors of abuse to speak up. Last week we told you of mentioned Joshua Harris, the one who wrote the book I Kissed Dating Goodbye, apologizing for the book, who had came forth with a statement explaining why he was leaving his wife, or that he was leaving his wife, that he was no longer a Christian, apologized to LGBT groups, and now here we have from the Christian Post, former pastor and evangelical author Josh Harris demonstrated his support for the LGBT community by marching in Vancouver's annual Pride Parade less than a month after announcing he no longer considers himself a Christian. He's the former pastor of Covenant Life Church in Gaithersburg, Maryland, shared several Instagram photos of himself participating in the British Columbia Parade, engaging in Pride festivities, and swapping stories with LGBT activists. In the state of Kansas, the Kansas governor has drafted through her agency's new rules regarding foster care families to be accepting of LGBT. The NBCNews.com reports that their child welfare agency has drafted guidelines urging foster parents to allow LGBTQ kids in their care to express themselves as they see themselves. The Department of Children and Families issued draft guidance that said foster homes should recognize LGBTQ children by their preferred identity if it differs from their sex assigned at birth. Well, it's not assigned at birth. It may be recognized by some at that time. Kentucky, LifeNews.com, Kentucky families celebrated yesterday as Governor Matt Bevin signed a new law banning abortions after the unborn baby's heartbeat is detectable. Let's go to another story from Life News. The Christian Employers Alliance has won a major religious freedom victory on behalf of the current and future members. The U.S. District Court for the District of North Dakota has ruled that the abortifacient mandate under the Affordable Care Act, as well as the subsequent accommodation burdens, the religious exercise of CEA members, and violates the Religious Freedom Restoration Act of 1993. Next to Arkansas, LifeNews.com shares that a federal judge has extended her block Tuesday on several pro-life Arkansas laws, including one that protects unborn babies with Down syndrome from discriminatory abortions. U.S. District Judge Christine Baker also blocked laws that prohibit abortions after 18 weeks and that require abortionists to be board-certified OBGYNs, according to the Canadian Press. Baker, an appointee of former President Barack Obama, temporarily blocked the laws in July. Her order was going to expire on Tuesday. She has extended that order. We're going to take a quick break, and I have a few more stories I'd like to share with you. We'll also give you opportunity a little bit later on the phones to call in and address these or other current event stories. Back in just a minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
The one book that's been credited as one of the major catalysts for the modern creationist movement is The Genesis Flood, authored by Dr. John Whitcomb and Dr. Henry Morris. While skeptics today cast doubt upon the authenticity of a universal flood and its geological impact during the time of Noah, we are modern-day witnesses of the massive, devastating force of tsunamis, hurricanes, and floods, and the great geological changes taking place from a single storm. The Genesis Flood is a 500-page resource which places before the reader in clear fashion the theological and scientific basis for literal acceptance of the biblical account. Replete with empirical data, this book provides illustrations, charts, and diagrams along with sound documentation that harmonizes science with biblical truth. The Genesis Flood is available for a donation of $20 or more to VCY America by calling 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. It's a news roundup day here today. Again, informing what's happening in a number of states, a number of places around the country, around the world as well. I'd like to quickly go to a number of stories from LifeNews.com. On several states, Tennessee lawmakers mulling new legislation to restore rights to unborn babies in their state. It's a new proposal, amendment to the heartbeat bill that would ban all abortions in the state of Tennessee. The state Senate Judiciary is scheduled to review it next week, according to the report. Let's go to Pennsylvania next. Pennsylvania lawmakers hoping to advance a bill this fall that would protect unborn babies from abortion once their heartbeats are detectable. It's not been introduced yet, but the pro-abortion governor Tom Wolf has said he will veto it. Life News also tells us, let's go to Florida. Lauren Book, pro-abortion Democrat and state senator, recently introduced a state constitutional amendment that would ban Florida lawmakers from restricting abortion unless at least half of the legislators are women, according to the New York Daily News. Because Book's bill, State Senate Bill 60, is a constitutional amendment, it would have to be approved by state voters as well as the legislature. Very interesting. California would mandate free abortions at colleges and universities. They're inching closer to passing this dangerous pro-abortion bill. Mandates free abortions on all public colleges and universities. It's Senate Bill 24. Passed the Senate in May. A final vote in the Assembly is expected later this month. It would require all public colleges and universities in California to provide abortion drugs to students on campus for free. It would be offered to students up to 10 weeks of pregnancy beginning January 1 of 2023. The New American reports that Kentucky has joined several other states passing legislation requiring schools to display the U.S. national motto, In God We Trust. The governor there, Matt Bevin, signed it into law, and students going into school this year will see that national motto. From CBN, a federal appellate court on Thursday, that's yesterday, rejected an attempt by the Freedom From Religion Foundation to censor the image of a cross from Lehigh County's historical seal. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit in Philadelphia ruled 3-0 that after the Supreme Court upheld the cross, War Memorial Cross in Pensacola, that Lehigh County can maintain its seal as a symbol that's become part of their community. A very troubling story coming out of Minnesota, and this is coming from the Leader Register. It's a five-day Muslim youth activism camp is going to be held next week. You'll never guess where this camp is going to be held. It's going to be held on the grounds of Luther Point Bible Camp on Big Wood Lake. Has local Christians and others concerned, citing activities have been linked to the sponsoring organization. Luther Point Bible Camp Director Sam Campo said that he has received emails and calls claiming the camp is standing with the enemy and that Luther Point is no longer a Christian camp in reaction to the camp's rental agreement with the Muslim American Society of Minnesota for the upcoming retreat, the MAS. But he says, quote, "We stand firm in our decision to rent space to the Muslim American Society, Minnesota." On behalf of himself and the camp's board of directors, wrote in a letter to the editor, "By doing so, we are showing God's love for our neighbor, providing Christian hospitality and a safe place and a time for the Holy Spirit to work." The Muslim American Society describes itself as an Islamic revival and reform movement. Incidentally, Luther Point is a camp and retreat center affiliated with the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, ELCA, located about an hour and a half from the Twin Cities. I'd like to open our phone lines here today on Crosstalk. If you'd like to comment on these stories we've shared with you today, there's been a lot happening in the news this week. If you want to comment on other current event news, pick up your phone, give us a call at 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. 929. FoxNews.com tells us that a London police officer conducting a routine traffic stop seriously injured yesterday morning after he was stabbed several times, including in the head, by a man wielding a machete, officials said. The United Kingdom is facing an epidemic of knife crime, reports Fox News. Data released by the Office for National Statistics last month showed that there were 43,516 police-recorded offenses involving a knife or sharp instrument in 2018-19, the highest figure since such records began in 2011, an 8% increase from the previous year. Merican, who has been criticized for the spike in knife crime happening on his watch, insists that the problem is caused by a direct link between poverty and violent crime. Let's hear what you have to say on the issues here today. Our number, 800-733-9829. East Troy, Wisconsin. William, you're on the air.
Yeah, Brother Jim, this issue regarding not being able to talk to people about their sexual, quote, identity. When you had the lady on the other day talking about the fact that there are only two sexes and not umpteen million genders, I really appreciated that, because as Christians, our light, we're supposed to let it shine, and we're supposed to share with people that God understood and knew who we were. Before, when we were formed in the belly, it says in Jeremiah 1:5 that he knew us, and he wants to sanctify us and use us. We don't lose our free speech rights as Americans, as Christians, and I'm not sure who these people think they are, that they can try to restrict our free speech rights in sharing the gospel and the good news about being redeemed and set free from the bondage of sin. We are living in insane days when we have biology under attack. I mean, honestly, it takes a man and a woman to be able to procreate and have children. We have five children, and every time the doctor said you're the proud parent of either a boy or a girl, there aren't umpteen million genders. And I think that the host you had on, or the guest you had on the other day, where she said that when we're confusing these kids about all these different genders, it is insanity.
Yeah.
But Christians, we have the truth, and we have to be logical and loving and let our light shine. And that's how the Lord Jesus is going to bless us. So I just thank you for bringing these things forward, and I just want to keep encouraging my brothers and sisters in Christ that we cannot be afraid of these people. We must do what's right.
Thank you, William. Thank you. God created them male and female. Male and female created he them. Folks, read it. You'll find it in the book of Genesis. Tracy, Minnesota, you're on the air. Hello, Tracy.
Yes.
You're on the air.
My concern is these schools that are allowing the transgenders to change in the locker rooms. My concern is for those students that are straight, what options do they have when they don't? I know that my children would not want to be changing in the same room as somebody opposite of their sex.
Yep. Your rights don't matter. I mean,
that's
how the schools are viewing it. Your rights don't matter in this. Your right to privacy doesn't matter. What we have to be sure is that those who wish to identify as a sex opposite of what they biologically are, that they feel safe and comfortable. Doesn't matter how your girls feel about it.
Well, they better come up with a whole lot more bathrooms for those that want to change privately than in front of them.
Tracy, thanks for the call. Let's go to April in New Mexico. April, you're on the air.
Hi,
April, turn your radio down, please.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, so my concern is basically the same thing as the gentleman that called first. With us not being able to, like, say if there's just male and female, the way they're confusing the kids in the school and making them think it's all okay. Like, why is it okay for that to take place, but we can't tell our kids, like, no, there is only male and female? Like, I just don't understand why. Like you said, like, our rights don't matter anymore.
Yeah.
Like, why is that? I mean, aren't we just as American as the LGBT community? I mean...
Thank you, April. Yeah, it's really a head-scratcher in all of that. And, you know, part of it extends back, and our friend Jelaine Appling at Wisconsin Family Council always reminds us elections have consequences. And the fact is that how many Christians are going to the polls and voting when school boards are being voted on, or when city council members, they're the ones that are making the insane ordinances, the bans, so-called conversion therapy. They are saying, and it just happened in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, it's okay if you want to give give affirming counsel saying, yes, go ahead and change your gender. If you have any questions, you can go ahead and change. You just cannot give counsel that would contradict that, saying, no, here's how you can deal with unwanted same-sex attraction. So, yeah, we live in a very topsy-turvy society today, but it really goes back to who are we putting into office? Do we have Christians who are standing up and saying, yes, I will be one who runs for office. I'll run on a local level, for an alderman or county supervisor, board positions, mayors and school board members. We think these are lesser kind of offices, but these are where these decisions are being made. And April,
it's also because all these people have agendas. Everybody has an agenda, and mm-hmm. they claim that they're in it for public education, or they're really in it for Medicare or whatever they're trying to get you to vote for them for. Yeah. And then when they're in office, they really don't even listen to you. Like, I'm not a Christian. I'm Catholic. I know we're all the same thing in reality. I believe in God. I believe in the same thing as all Christians. Like, my husband's Christian, but I just don't understand how come we don't have the same, rights to tell our kids, no, you're a beautiful girl. You're a gorgeous young man. You know what I mean? Like, why do the teachers have the authority and the people that don't even live and care about our kids in any way, shape, or form? They're just, all they're doing is really confusing them and turning them into like a society that can't think for themselves. Yeah. They're just lost.
Yeah. And thank you, April, for raising those points. You're right. It doesn't make sense. And certainly there are issues that need to be addressed in that regard and for Christians to stand up. And on the other issue, it's just kind of a side issue. There are differences between Catholicism and biblical Christianity. I just encourage you sometime to go back to our website, crosstalkamerica.com, search under the name Gendron for Mike Gendron. And here are some of the broadcasts we've done with him. Let's go to Gage next in Green Bay, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Gage.
Hi. I'm actually an atheist calling in. I hope you don't mind.
No.
Well, I was listening to your show, and I overheard some of the talk about putting In God We Trust on the school, I believe it was.
Or our national motto, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was kind of just thinking that with Christianity being in a general state of decline in America and across the world, and Islam being the fastest growing religion, don't you see a problem with allowing Christianity to be given favor in America when Islam is on the rise? Wouldn't that then give them an open door?
Gage, it really goes back. We're founded on a Judeo-Christian ethic here in the United States. Our founders coming from the Judeo-Christian heritage, that's what our nation is founded upon. And so, no, I don't see any wrong. And that part of the problem, as we outlined on our program just the other day, is that we have turned away from God in so many different ways and secularized in society today that very well accounts for many of the moral problems that we have across this nation.
Well, I would disagree that America was based on Judeo-Christian values. No, that's why the founding fathers put in there that government shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion, because they didn't want a theocracy.
Right. They did not want a state-sponsored religion. But you go back and you look at the founders, Gage, and you're going to find that that these founders were involved in teaching Sunday school and holding church services in the U.S. Capitol building, and had some very strong words to say as to just look at our founding documents and the references to God in them, and you'll find out that they do indeed come, whether you agree with it or not. The fact is that it does come from a Judeo-Christian ethic. Our time on the clock says we're break time, back in 60 seconds. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Weekend Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. America has been struck again by a tragedy, multiple tragedies. The shooting in Ohio as well as in Texas, leaving now 30 people dead, not counting all those injured. Well, the media is quick to want to blame it on Christians and nationalists and racists. That's what they say some of these shooters are. Well, the reality is that's not true. The reported manifesto from the shooter in El Paso, Texas, reveals he is not a Christian, he is not a conservative, he is not a constitutionalist. But the media doesn't want to read, apparently, from his manifesto in which he calls for universal basic income. That's socialism. He is a racist. He calls for breaking up the country so that there is not the mixing of races. This is nothing less than really eugenics promoted by Adolf Hitler. He promotes radical environmentalism, sustainable development, and population control. Many of these ideologies are that you would find in Nazism, not the conservative Christians of America.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Well, Lori just brought in some word here that Twitter has just unlocked the Mitch McConnell campaign account after a GOP boycott taking place there. By the way, ICE, 700 undocumented workers were arrested in seven massive ICE raids. This is, I believe, Western journalism. On Wednesday, U.S. ICE enforcement here included its raids on seven different chicken processing plants in Mississippi, 680 arrests. And WND.com reports government watchdog Judicial Watch suing the administration of Mayor Pete Buttigieg in South Bend, Indiana for documentation of its hiring a private organization to create ID cards for illegal aliens. Mayor Pete's city administration in South Bend is in cover-up mode on his work for special ID cards to make it easier for illegal aliens to stay in the U.S. contrary to law, said Judicial Watch President Tom Fitton. Judicial Watch made simple open records requests and have faced nothing but games from the Buttigieg administration, which is why we had to sue. Well, having the cards created by a private company meant that the city isn't bound by requests for public records the way the city might be if it were running the program, NBC reported earlier. Back to the phone line. Steve is calling in from Kansas. Steve, you're on the air.
You know, that caller before me, Jim, said that Islam was on the rise. But you know what? God is at the top, and he's in control.
Yes.
It'll never rise above him. It'll never rise above God. And I'm already praying for that man, Gage, because I hope that he can, you know, see that. And, you know, I've heard talk about, you know, we need to win the culture war. But, Jim, in my opinion, the culture war was lost a split-second sin into the world. And that's of the world. But, you know, the hope is, and the older I get, the more this keeps me going, that one of these days Jesus Christ is going to return for us all, and we're going to be called into heaven. And all as we talk about, all the tears, the depression, the hurt, the anger, the hatred, you know what? It's going to be wiped from our minds. We won't remember it. And you know what? That's what keeps me going. And I hope who's ever listening to this, it gives them some inspiration also.
Amen. Thank you so much, Steve. Indeed, our hope is Jesus. And yes, to Gage, we would encourage you to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. He is the only way of salvation. Ryan in Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hi. I was curious if I could roll back to a couple of calls ago about the transgender bathrooms. Could I speak on that?
Sure.
All right. I'm just kind of, I don't listen to this very often or at all, really. It's just kind of my radio station for my FM transmitter. But I was kind of blown back by the ignorance of that woman that called in earlier.
What ignorance are you referring to, Ryan?
You had spoken on it a little bit, infringing on people's rights, like just straight people. There are no rights being infringed upon with that.
Privacy rights? You don't have a right to privacy?
You have a right to privacy, but public bathrooms have just been public bathrooms. There's nothing changing with that. It's just, you know, just go in and use the bathroom.
Excuse me, we're not going to talk like that. But, Ryan, if you have a wife or children, I don't know whether you do or not, but I just want to say that I don't know how you would feel as to somebody going in of the opposite sex and unclothing in front of them. Certainly, there is a respect for morality and decency. We also see those who are sexually preying on those under the guise of, we have seen it multiple times. It's been well documented in Target restrooms that have happened, in which those who identify or say that they are of the opposite sex preying on young girls or women in restroom facilities. And so it is, a society in which this means to have this free liberation is that which is going to cause the fall of many, and it is victimizing girls and young women in particular, and women, and simply don't want to be a part of it, Ryan. And so I respectfully dissent. Another story that came forth here this week here from WND.com. Former NOAA scientist, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, who no longer believes carbon dioxide is causing catastrophic climate change, Rex Fleming, said that he's realized that where we're going has been a totally wrong direction. He's converted. And now he's being shut out of academic journals despite his PhD in atmospheric science. He's the author of The Rise and Fall in the Carbon Dioxide Theory of Climate Change. Very interesting indeed. He said that more scientists would abandon the theory, but they are in this groove of getting funds for huge, bigger computer systems to run these massive climate models. And they want their salaries to increase. They don't want to change. He said, describing it as a wonderful gravy train. Fleming said that one of the reasons proponents of the theory of man-caused climate change target the fossil fuel industry is in order to push socialism. By the way, you see the hike for 15? The hike for $15 minimum wage? Wall Street Journal reporting, and the Fox News carried the story more than 6 months after the $15 minimum wage went into effect in New York City. Business leaders and owners say that the increased labor costs have forced them to cut staff, eliminate work shifts, and raise prices. Many business owners said these changes were unintended consequences of the new minimum wage, which took effect at the start of the year. I'm going to squeeze one last call in. David in Boston, you're on the air.
Say that you are a bigot and a coward for disconnecting me earlier.
Okay. Well, thank you, David.
No problem, bigot. Coward.
Okay, very interesting indeed. And yes, I guess when you take a stand for the truth, you're called hateful, coward, bigot. When to uphold biblical truth, what we have to understand is, let's go back. We call about science deniers. Well, indeed, we find that science says that there are two sexes. It's male and female. And folk like this who deny science in that regard, biology, common biology, I think that's very interesting. And to be hateful, to stand up for the truth, well, so be it. We thank you for joining us here today on Crosstalk on the VCY American Network as we talk about the issues. And friends, indeed, we live in perilous times. There are those who are out to deceive and be deceived, but continue in the things that we know from God's word. Let's be faithful to his inerrant word. There are going to be those who mock. There will be those who scoff. But let's stand up for biblical truth as we find it in God's word, the Bible. By the way, it is Friday. The Lord's Day is coming. I trust you'll be in a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching local church this Lord's Day. And folks, it's through that we learn to love one another and warn them when they're heading down a path that leads toward destruction. Thanks so much for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.